This is not clear as it should be, but it's beyond our control.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Monday afternoon, December the 29th, 1980. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Frank Mendolia is the teacher of the afternoon. This is a deliverance service. His subject is methods and manifestations.
We're going to continue, I hope. Glory to God. And we're going to end to what we started yesterday. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. Is there anybody who has not received the renunciation prayer? Would you come forward now and pick up a copy? Everybody's got one? We'll continue. Okay, now there's a little lady. Well, she's not so little. But she was gracious enough to make some copies of the demon grouping list, which some of you have. I'm going to give one to Glenn, and I gave one to someone else. And she has extra copies. I need these because I'll be going on to Louisiana, so I need the copies I have to hand out there. So if you want one, would you raise your hand, sister, Peter? That's the gal right there. Okay, after the service, would you see her? And she'll give you a copy. She paid 40 cents to copy 8 pages. I think that's really reasonable, so she's got them. Praise God. Okay. Now, if you have, I hope you brought your renunciation prayers, because we're going to finish up on this, and then we're going into methods and manifestations. Okay? And we're going to be talking about, some people have asked, and I know it's in God's divine timing, because people manifest differently than others when a demon is cast out. And we're going to get into that. But let's clean up the renunciation prayer so we add understanding to what we've done last night. Then we'll complete methods of manifestation today. And then there'll be a brief deliverance because it's going to run into our dinner time. And I know everybody wants to come back and hear Colonel Speed Wilson this evening. Okay. We start at part two. You have your renunciation prayer. It says that in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the following. And then it lists the curses of spells, jinxes, occult, illegitimacy, and a curse of idolatry. Okay? Now, we're going to get into curses in much more depth on Tuesday and Wednesday than I possibly could cover here. And God's given me, I just praise him for the revelation he's given me on curses. And it's just too much to go into. So tomorrow, and then again on Wednesday, we'll be completing it. And that will sum up the teaching on deliverance. Praise God, I gave you grape juice, but I hope it's fermenting, that by the time I give you Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it'll turn into some new wine. Glory to God. Okay, what I want to cover is in the part right after we say, I break the curse of idolatry, and then I renounce any oaths either I or my ancestors ever made to false god, idol, false cult, or false religion. Right after that, you may have noticed something which sounds rather peculiar. And it says this, I renounce any initiation right into any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity, sorority, or any order which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. All right? Now, I want to tell you, if you're new in deliverance, you're going to have to receive this by faith. Because it was a revelation to me. I really didn't know what the Masonic order had to do with witchcraft until God put that book that we read last night, the excerpts from UFOs, What in the Earth is Happening. Wasn't that an interesting article? And how it tied into Freemasonry? And isn't it interesting that now we're getting teaching amongst the deliverance ministers today that go to show that the rites that are taken in the Masonic ritual are akin to those similar rites which people take to be initiated into witchcraft. And if there's somebody in the audience, maybe you, brother, since we did a lot of work on you personally, if you've taken any rite, or your mother and father have taken any rite, or the girlfriend that you went out with has taken any rite, you need to consider what I'm saying right here, okay? Now, as I told you once before, God has shown me that it was wisdom not to speak of other people's experiences, but to speak of my own, and thus I shall. I was 18 years old when I started studying at the Polytechnic Institute of Brooklyn, where I got my Bachelor of Science degree in mechanical engineering. Currently, I'm working with one of the largest engineering firms in the world. And as crazy teenager, I decided that the end thing to do on campus was to join a fraternity. Okay? Now I was lost. Okay? So I joined. And there was a certain initiation rite which you had to take, you know, to be a, quote, brother. Thank God I took the right initiation rite and became a brother of you. And Jesus is my big brother. Okay. Well, I never thought anything about it. Until my pastor, who, praise God, knows a lot about deliverance, started teaching this. And I started to ask myself, I said, wow. I said, could it be that because I went through this initiation rite, even when I was a kid, I did it in ignorance? I said, I could have picked up something. And the obvious answer that came to me was, yep. Okay, well, if it's there, here's my philosophy about demons. You want to know what it is? If it's there, get it out. If it's not there, so what? That's my philosophy. I'm going on with God. So if you rebuke it and it don't manifest, it's not there. If it does, it's there, it's going. What's the big hang-up? So I sat in the hot seat, quote-unquote, hot. Gets hotter every time. And the pastor called out a spirit of my fraternity, okay? I won't use my specific name, lest I offend anybody, so I'll just pick Phi Beta Kappa because everybody knows what that means, okay? But let's just say it was Phi Beta Kappa. Just to use some Greek, because that's what they use. They use the Greek letters. And there was no big manifestation. But there was some. And I felt something rise up and just distort my nose and my face as if I was going like that. That's all it was. And after a period of time, it just left very quietly. Well, something else was interesting. My pastor says, you know, if you had that, I bet you I got when I joined the Knights of the Golden Eagles. Well, brother, sit down. I praise God for my pastor. Because he knows he's got enough humility to submit himself to our brethren when he knows he needs deliverance. And I'll tell you something, that's what we need in more churches. Pastors who are a little bit more meek and humble to submit to their leadership so they can get free of their demons. And I got news for you. When they get free of their demons, you will get free of your demons. And that's what we need to work. We don't need to work with the congregation at large. We need to work with the pastors so they can go back to their churches and give to them what they have received. Freely you have give, freely receive. Praise God. So the pastor sat down, we cast it out, and it manifested and it left. Okay. Okay, let me talk a little bit about idolatry in the first part of that. I break the curse of idolatry. All right? There's a scripture, and I don't know if we'll get into it just yet, but there's a scripture in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, which I'll paraphrase for you. But it says basically this, that for those people who go into idolatry, I will visit the iniquity upon the third and fourth generation. At any time it's passed on to other generations within the family line, it's no longer a spirit, it is a curse. Although if the curse is there, the spirit probably is too. Okay. Well, again, I speak from my own experience. You know my background. I'm an ex-Roman Catholic. Never thought too much about idols, although I want to tell you something. When my grandmother and grandfather were alive, they used to have a room. I want to tell you this. I hated this room with a passion. Because in the room, they had this crummy little red light. And all on the dresser were statues. There's a statue of St. Peter. There's a statue of Mary. There's a statue of St. Jude of the impossible cases. And I know some Catholics are pretty impossible. And statues of everything and their uncle. Well, I tell you, as a little kid, the only way to get to the TV was to pass through that room. And every time I used to see that light, I used to just run by it and go into the room where the TV was, you know. I never thought anything about it. All right, it was kind of spooky, but so what? But I'll tell you something. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, I don't mean to scare anybody here, but I have to tell you what happened to me, because that's my testimony. Years later, And I do mean years later. And I guess I'll have to sort of act it out. My wife says I have a spirit of play acting. All right, if I do, cast it out. I was sitting down at my table in the kitchen. And to give you an idea of how my house was arranged back in Brooklyn, New York, as you can tell from my accent, I'm not from Mississippi. The hallway ran like right by the altar. Like, we'll make believe this altar was the hallway. And it ran out, and make believe that wall was the front door to my house. And I was doing my homework on the kitchen table. And my dog at that time was laying right by my feet. And it was quiet. There was no noise. And then there were steps that came this way on my right down until it reached the hallway and it crossed over into my living room. That's where you are, okay? And I'm writing. I'm doing my homework like a good little Catholic boy. And all of a sudden, the only way I can explain to you is that there was a fear that just came over me, like a fear, terrifying fear, as if something's in this house. Something is in this house. And I'll tell you, I put down my pencil, I just started looking around, expecting to find something. And I looked. It's my imagination. It's my imagination. I'm going berserk. It's my imagination. I looked. Then finally, I looked up the hallway again. And as God is my witness, I saw something jump from that staircase across the hallway into my living room. And my dog went, woof. He saw it too. You know how many times we've had dogs in, just happen to be in the deliverance service, and they would look. And they would know something's going on. They know Christians don't. Now, where did I get that from? Well, never thought about it never thought about it anymore. It didn't never happen again. I was a little bit afraid of the dark, but, you know, how kids are. Well, just forget it, you know, just natural. Well, years later again, I'm now married down in Florida in our beautiful home that we have down there, and we're sleeping. It's the middle of the night, and I dream a dream. And the dream was a nightmare. And I woke up, and I checked myself, and, I realized this was just a dream, but something very unusual was happening. The only way I could describe it is that there was something in me that was terrified. I said, but what are you afraid of? It was just a dream. And all of a sudden, I start shaking. Frank, it was just a dream. And I start sweating. And then I woke up my wife, and as I started speaking and rehashing the dream, the terror just engulfed me, and I sweated through my flannel pajamas. My wife ran to get a robe. She put it on me. I sweat through that. So we bound Satan. We didn't know exactly what it was. We bound him and went to sleep. The next day I come home from work. I says, okay, we got the time now. Let's get these creepy things. So we looked on my list, the sheets that some of you have. We went down the list, and it says, fear, it's got to be fear. All right? And let me tell you, we'll get the specific names in a minute. So my wife, Rosalie, calls out, okay, spirit of fear, come out. No, that's not it. It manifests. She says, well, what's up? What else is on your list? Well, terror's on my list. Well, let's try that. Okay, spirit of terror. Oh, it's in my back, Rosalie. It's in my back. And I can feel that thing riding. You know how you see the cartoons with the yellow stripe down somebody's back? I don't know what color it was, but it was there. And she's getting the olive oil and smearing my back until I smell like an Italian salad. But it was there, and she got rid of it. I says, well, knowing enough about deliverance, something else is there because they don't come in one at a time. Remember? They're like cockroaches. If you got one, you got more. So we went down the list again, and I said, okay, I bet I got this one. Familiar spirit. She goes, okay, let's try it. Oh, yeah, it's in my back again. It's in my back again, the Italian salad routine, okay? But that left. All right. I says, okay, now let's pray for a word of knowledge. We prayed. We held hands. Lord, is that you? I have a spirit of paralysis. Well, we take it by faith. We're not going to question God. Cast it out. And when she called it, I just coughed up my guts. It's the only way I can describe it. And I needed to understand it. I said, Lord, I take it by faith. I know they're there. Now, give me the picture. What's the picture behind these three? And I tell you, God was beautiful. You know what he showed me? Back in that kitchen, when I was 13, 14 years old. Here's what happened. First, the terror engulfed me. I saw the familiar spirit, and I was paralyzed with fear. Praise God. Isn't that something to learn some of Satan's psychology and how he works? Now, did I purposely get into idols and stuff? Did I bought this stuff? No, but it was a curse passed down from my family line. Okay? Praise you, Jesus. In fact, if you remember when I talked the other day of the three spirits, those were passed down too. There wasn't exactly a curse, but if parents are not saved, they will... And generally, we find they pass on their weaknesses in the form of spirits to their children. Okay, let's move on. The next part of your renunciation prayer, in part number two, talks about demonic subjection. I break all demonic subjection and demonic soul ties or bondages to my mother, father, grandparents, spouses, ex-spouses, or any other human being, living or dead, who has ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. Okay, you remember that from last night? Okay, what does that mean? Demonic subjection is where there's a tyrant or a person who severely warped, whether it be in mind or through demonic spirits. And he inflicts, being that the children have to be submissive to him, he actually inflicts that bondage to his subordinates. In this case, it's parents. I can tell you it could happen in churches, too. You have demonic subjection in certain churches who are way out. I mean, if you got them in false cults, why can't you have them with churches with false teachers? Okay. We met with a fellow, and I would never mention his name because it would be too embarrassing, so we'll just call him Brother X. And I'm going to tell you the way it is, and I hope that you're mature enough to receive it. He had a problem, a very big problem. He was driven by demonic spirits into the woods. I kid you not. He would literally strip himself from waist down, rip off his belt buckle, and beat himself unmercilessly until he got sexual pleasure from it. We call that masochism. Okay? Where did he get that from? Tell me about your childhood, brother. You know what we found out? Father was a sadist. Would literally beat his wife in front of the children. And as the children saw through the eye gate, came in the spirit. You remember last time we talked about the devil of Carol Kingston? How she watched her father kill her mother. And after that, she was just about a vegetable until the supernatural manifestation of God came. He anointed a minister to go in there. If you get a hold of that book, I would suggest the ladies don't put their hairs in curls. They'll be popped out when you read it. We had another case of a woman whose mother was a tyrant. And she remembers her mother chasing her around the table to beat her with a stick or something. She had demonic subjection to her mother, need to be broken. The problem with this is not only have demonic subjection, usually have soul ties with that. Demonic soul ties. And this is what we also said in here. What is a demonic soul tie? Can I say this? If your marriage went on the rocks, and you're divorced, you got a soul tie to your ex-husband or wife. Yep. In fact, let's expound from the order of the home and go to the order of the church. If you had a pastor and there was a certain amount of soul tied to him and he wasn't quite straight, when he leaves and another pastor comes in, and we found this true, the congregation will never receive him because the first pastor put on a demonic soul tied to the congregation, and you know what that congregation will do? They'll always compare that first pastor with the second pastor, and they'll never receive the word of God that comes out of the second pastor. I have seen it. This is deep. Where do you think all this crap from discipleship comes? Amen. People who are in this discipleship with their elder is the master of that house. And believe me, that's not what I've been teaching about submission. But where the elders and the pastors ride up as the Lord of a God's heritage, that's demonic. No man is the Lord of you. I only serve one Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is naturally a submission, a proper balanced submission that we've been teaching here. But where you got to check with your elder to see if you could buy the car, or check to see if you could buy the groceries, or elder, can I go up installment payments, or can I... Come on. What is this? It's nothing but tyranny. And you know something? When the people come out from discipleship, guess what ministry they need? Deliverance. Again. Where did he get the soul ties in the scriptures, Brother Frank? Now, it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. But that was a proper soul tie. The problem with us is we make all kinds of demonic soul ties. And can I say this? If before you were saved and before you were married, you had an affair with someone, and it was a long drawn out affair where there was physical intercourse, you have a soul tie to that person. If you've been married a number of times and been divorced a number of times, and the system is divorced and remarriage, divorced and remarriage, divorced and remarriage, you have soul ties that need to be broken. Amen. Were you counseled with a woman that was married 5 times? You know how many soul ties she had? 5. All demonic. Boy, this one was very demonic. We'll get into that in just a minute. Okay, moving on. I break all curses of psychic heredity. It's really a shame what parents do to their kids and don't know it. If you're in astrology, if you're practicing ESP and all this sort of thing, it'll form a curse that's passed down to your child. I know what I'm talking about. We went to visit a friend of mine who even works with me. And his wife was a beautiful Christian. She sings. She got the voice of a bird. She's beautiful. But boy, did she need deliverance. And all the astrology and horoscopes. I said, "Do you ever read this stuff?" She goes, "No, but I'll tell you something. My mother was into it." There we go. But Brother Frank, is this really taught in the scriptures? Well, first let me read what our renunciation prayer is. I break all curses of psychic heredity and any demonic hold upon my family line as a result of the disobedience of any of my ancestors, spouse or ex-spouses, etc. And then I break any curses of mental or physical illness off my family line. But let me key on the word disobedience and let me read the scripture to you. And the Lord descended in the cloud in Exodus 34 and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. I was third generation Italian. Roman Catholic. Mental illness, same thing. There are spirits of mental illness, yes. Do I believe everything is a demon? No. But I want to tell you something. I believe now that a lot more things are demons than what I believed before. Everything is not natural. There are supernatural, you might say, parallels. And I gave the example of epilepsy the other night. In fact, we have someone here just got delivered of epilepsy last night. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce every cult that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and every philosophy that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, why are those two in there? Because those are the two principles of our faith. If we don't believe that, if we believe Jesus is just a man, as our favorite Bible thumpers think it is, and then there's the other teaching that, oh, well, yeah, the blood of Jesus cleansed from some sins, but there are some sins that are so great that we have to shed our blood for. Baloney. And those are heresies, and that's why you need to renounce it, because it's so rampant in the world today. Okay, part three, we covered forgiveness last night, and I don't think we have to expound upon it. You have to forgive others as God forgave you. That is a prerequisite for deliverance. I do now forgive myself. I'd like the children in the back there to stop playing as the word's going forth. I do now forgive myself. There's a lot of people who are under self condemnation. And I found it so much. The devil does something to you, and you go into sin, and then he says to you, what a sinner you are, and you're supposed to be a Christian. So for the thing he made you to do is sin, you then buy the self-condemnation he gives you. You know, you get two for the price of one. That's his strategy. And you need to forgive yourself. You know why? Because God forgave you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Romans 8:1. Okay, so I think we covered that. And then the calling upon the name of the Lord, we explained it last night. I don't think there's any reason to go into it because it's just a quoting by faith from Joel 2:32, calling upon the name of the Lord and Him setting you free. Okay, if you were here last night, this few-minute teaching completes the renunciation. You have a Bible such as mine where you have flaps. Put it in there and keep it. You'll never know when you run into someone who needs deliverance. And it's a good key. Now, by next year, it may be twice as long or whatever God leads, because He's leading us into new truth all the time. Okay. Very good. Let's stop here for a question or two, and then we'll go on to methods and manifestations. Go ahead, brother.
I need to come up with some really qualified.
Yeah. Yep. Well, all I can say is there are good soul ties and there are bad soul ties. For me to say that in every single case of divorce that there is a demonic soul tie, I don't think would be quite accurate. But let's consider this. What are the reasons for divorce? Bitterness, resentment, you know, I can't stand your guts, and all the other stuff that goes with it. So the origin of divorce is based on strife. James 3:14, where there's strife and bitter jealousy, and usually jealousy is a monster in a marriage, and usually is a cause for divorce. There is confusion in every evil work. So, but it may start it out very good, but it ends up demonic. Now, why a soul tie? Why not a spirit tie? Well, because there's a joining of your bodies and a knitting together of your souls, according to the scripture. Therefore, and we found this in many cases, because of this, the next marriage is almost, well, I won't say doomed to fail, because I don't think it's necessarily doomed, but I'll tell you, you'll have some rocky road ahead. And that's why you need to break the soul tie to get free from the past. The problem that we have seen even in childhood when we looked at the big eye and the small eye is that people consider themselves adults and beyond their childhood hang-ups. Not necessarily. They just grow up with the same hang-ups they had before. Go ahead, sister. True. Yes. True. That's true. Yeah. That's correct.
And I heard Brother Wynn say something that might help this brother.
Go ahead.
He said that a soul tie, everyday language, is like a pipeline from your head to the other person's head, and any evil spirit that they might have can translate to you and vice versa back and forth.
I see.
Which is why the
interesting
the lodge thing, where we all join hands and we're one in the spirit.
That's good.
Why that's so deadly, because the evil spirits can travel on a soul tie line.
Yeah, I might add that when they broke the curse on my fraternity from me, it was a soul tie that was there. And I didn't have sexual intercourse, you know.
Yeah.
Any of the brothers, thank God for that. I didn't have to worry about homosexuality. But there was a soul tie. So a soul tie, I hope I didn't imply that every time there's a soul tie, there has to be intercourse, because I just told you of the daughter who had the soul tie with her mother. Okay? Yeah, brother. Yeah, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll have to stop you. I'll get to that tomorrow. Go ahead. I'm not quite sure. We have found, first of all, I don't necessarily agree with everybody, every deliverance minister and what they have to say, okay? I find out that, let's say the curse is on your husband's line. In most cases, I found out that that curse will not pass to you, but it will go through the children, because it comes through the bloodline, which is made up between you and your husband. Mm-hmm. Okay. This, if you're, I really need to move on. So you have any questions, just sort of hold until after. Go ahead. I'm sorry? As far as what, brother? The death of one party? No. Now, as far as having a soul tie, yeah, you mean if somebody's dead, could you still have a soul tie to them? Yeah, it needs to be broken. In fact, look at the woman who had a stored spirit of grief. It's the same type of thing. There was a tie there that needed to be broken. In her case, it was grief, but there can be a soul tie. Okay, now all soul ties are not bad. Don't misunderstand me. There's very little, actually, I say there's very little known about soul ties right now, but God's going to illuminate, I feel, in the next future. Okay, methods and manifestations. Now, I think all of us have sat through the deliverance long enough to know that the guy next to us don't manifest the way we do. My wife is a real winner. I tell you, she manifests the most peculiar way. The only way I could do is just show you. She manifests like this. That's it. The guy would just go. In fact, well, we joke around at home. If she says, well, how you like dinner tonight? And I said, nah, well, it could be better. She goes, oh, that's that perfection spirit again. I said, oh, please don't do that. I'm manifesting. Praise God. I think I've got to cast out the spirit of foolishness. Praise God. But I got to say this. If you're into deliverance or you want to go into deliverance and help the brethren, because I'll tell you, there's one minister. If you don't think that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is received, woo, wait till you get deliverance. Praise God. People say to me, hey, what do you get when you come into deliverance? Tribulation, brother. And I want to say this. The Holy Spirit is diversified enough in the way he does things that you have to be open to whatever the manifestation is. And if you're a dogmatic person, or you legalistic, and say, oh, it's just got to be this way and this way only, go into evangelism. Don't come into deliverance. You'll never make it. But in general, there are some methods and procedures that seem to work. And so I'll give them to you. But this doesn't mean that Brother Frank has all the knowledge on deliverance. You know, God didn't give me a special corner for deliverance. Because the next guy will come for you something different and illuminate another area. So you just stay open, okay? Here's the things that we find out work and work very well. One, counseling. Anytime someone comes to me and tells me they got problems, let's check out childhood. Let's look at those Goliaths in your life. Okay, we have a whole tape on that. Two, finding the specific names. Well, how do I do that? Through counseling. I have a problem with bitterness. Oh, that's one name. A jealousy. Oh, that's another name. Yeah, just give me the demons. I just cast them out. The people volunteer them. They know what's bugging them. Well, Brother Frank, why don't you rely on the word of knowledge? Well, I rely on the word of knowledge. Or let's say this. I expect word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, but I am not limited to word of knowledge and discerning of spirit. Because God's given me an intellect to find out through natural means and counseling and other things. And do you know something? I find out when my wisdom ends, God's wisdom begins. Hallelujah. The use of the renunciation and deliverance prayer, such as you have a copy of. And we found this out just recently. The name of Jesus, or more specifically, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, why do I say that? What's that name mean? Well, in Hebrew, it means Jesus the Messiah. And I want to tell you something. We cast out in the name of Jesus. There's one particular gal. But all of a sudden, I didn't do it. The Holy Spirit just say, come out in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And the demon went, oh! Just couldn't stand his name in the original language. And you know what I think the wisdom of God is? I don't think Jesus, the name Jesus, is the most accurate translation. Because when they translated Joshua, if you go back and see what the root meaning was, it was Yehoshua. Right? It was Yehoshua. And we translated Joshua. Well, if Yehoshua is Joshua, why isn't Yeshua Joshua? Why is it Jesus? I don't know. Maybe God's leading me something. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but I'll tell you something. I'm getting results. And when they hear Yeshua HaMashiach, they don't like it. Okay. Something that you need above everything in deliverance is number four. And I'll say this, and I'm big on it. And I can't preach it this week, but I have a two-tape teaching on it. I'm going to bring one more out very shortly. It's discernment. My tapes are called Wisdom and Discernment. And you need keen discernment in your life and in your spirit in order to perform deliverance. Many people come to me and they tell me one thing, but man, I see something else. And I couldn't do that without the discernment that God's given me. Binding and loosening. Laying on of hands. And I might say, laying on of hands on parts of the body that the Holy Spirit shows you. I'll get into that in a minute. Hot hands. What does that mean? I mean, sometimes God puts a supernatural anointing on your hands and pow, they come out. Anointing oil. You want to get hot hands? Get some olive oil. You can buy the Italian kind. Hot tongues. Hot tongues, what's that? God sometimes puts a supernatural anointing even on your prayer language. And boy, we had cases where demons came out screaming because we had one sister here that God anointed her prayer language. Glory to God. Knowledge of roadblocks and of strong men, you need to know. Quoting scripture for the tough demons. Sometimes I'm not going. I remember I had my 9-year-old daughter come. She's still reading baby language. I said, Andrea, turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and tell this demon where he's going to go. And she turns it. And he threw the devil into the lake of fire where the beast and false prophet were, and their smoke of the torment was sent to heaven forever and ever. And the demon just went. From a 9-year-old girl. But who cares how you read the word of God? God's word's anointed. Hallelujah. Appropriating the blood of Jesus. Very important. I'm going to specify every single one now. And just about anything else the Holy Spirit says. Counseling. We went into that on childhood, sitting down with them, talking about their childhood, their disappointments, their hurts, their wounded spirits. There were people here, all of you here this night, but we call our wounded spirit, but a lot of tears came forward, and a lot of people got free. Because, I tell you, parents do things almost unwittingly and hurt their children so badly. Oh, so badly. I remember when I attended Bill Gothard's series. He told me about a 50-year-old man. I couldn't believe this. But God really illuminated this. And he said, brother, did you have a happy childhood? He said, my childhood was miserable. I said, is that right? What was miserable about it? I remember one time. And that stood out. Your childhood was miserable because of one time? Okay, let's continue. I remember one time my mother and father were then divorced. My father called me up and says he picked me up and take me for ice cream. This is a man, 50 years old. And I waited. I told all my friends, my daddy's coming to take me for ice cream. My daddy's coming to take me for ice cream. Yeah, sure, Joe. We heard that before. Well, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And I want to tell you, he never really did get over the hurt. Until some Christian went and counseled and delivered him. Isn't that amazing? To think that these things could hang on so long. When I mentioned the woman had a spirit of epilepsy, she was 43 years old, and she was raped at the age of 6. Well, she carried that demon, what, 36 years with her? 37 years? Okay, I think we talked enough about childhood. I'm going to go on. But why do we have to name the demon? Well, I mean, why do we have to put a name on it? Jesus did. Luke 13:11, and there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Don't say infirmity. She had a spirit of infirmity. In Luke 8, the gathering demoniac runs to him, and the voice speaks out, my name is Legion. Isn't that a name? Jesus comes back from the Mount of Transfiguration. He sees the Father who has the demoniac son, and he casts out, the word says, a deaf and a dumb spirit. Isn't that a specific name? Well, Brother Frank, why can't you just say, Satan, come out in the name of Jesus? You know how many times I heard that from the fighting fundies? Why did you just say, Satan, come out in the name of Jesus? Because we covered that. They should have been here last night, and we got their answer. They're legalistic. Just like some of the fundies. The Greek word is tapos. License, legalistic. I was hearing a tape from another brother, and he says, I break all your spirits of witchcraft, come out. And the demon said, nah, that's not specific enough. That's not going to do. In Acts 16:1, the slave girl who found the Apostle Paul. Didn't the Apostle Paul finally, after 3 days, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, cast out a spirit of divination? Sure he did. All these are specific spirits. He didn't say, okay, Satan, okay, Lucifer, or whatever you think the devil is. No, specific names. And so in counseling and talking with the person, we write down the specific names. I'll tell you something else. In writing down specific names, I know how to tell that person what to watch for when the deliverance is complete. Of course. If I don't keep a record of what they're doing, then how I know how to counsel the person on how they should lead their life before the Lord to watch for these things. You know, the two messages we had on maintaining deliverance is not all to be said on maintaining deliverance, people. But I got eight times preaching, I'm trying to do the best, you know, in the circumstance. I got a lot more to say about maintaining your deliverance. Okay. The renunciation prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord. And may I say this? Demons don't have to leave easy. And this is one of the biggest arguments that's thrown to me. Why do you keep saying the same name over and over again and to command it to come out? Why can't you just say it once? I wish it was that easy. But you know, when I read the word, it sometimes didn't come out just once, even when Jesus spoke the word.
What, Brother Frank? I need a scripture for that. I figured you'd say that. So I got one for you.
In Luke 8, as Jesus is going up to the gathering demoniac, the gathering demoniac comes, kneels before him, and says, and the demons say, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. You know what verse 29 says? For he, Jesus, has been commanding the unclean spirit to come out of him. He had been commanding the unclean spirit to come out. When the unclean spirit says, what do I have to do with thee? In other words, Jesus was giving them the command and the demons giving him an argument. And that's the same thing I get. Then he found out its name. Right? And then the deliverance was successful. Okay, we discussed the name of Yeshua. Good discernment. What do I mean by that? I want to tell you something. I have never experienced, let me take that, twice I've experienced such fast discernment that I know it was the Spirit of Almighty God. We went to Canada, and we had a pastor's wife that we had on the hot seat. And I want to tell you something, the Spirit of God, I was just looking right in her face, and I was seeing the demons manifest as they come up. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes they don't have to come up the way you call them. They come up in their own order, and you got to guess what's there. And they don't move out until you get it. How about that? I thank God that all deliverances are not like that. But this one was for some reason, and I still don't know why. But one rose up, and it went like this. See if you can guess what it was. Nope. That's it. Defiance. It was a spirit of defiance written all over her face. Aha! Spirit of defiance came out in the name of Jesus. It went up. Then it was, looked like the same thing. And then I saw it. Resistance come out in the name of Jesus. And these didn't like me. Because I kept guessing their names. They thought guessing. I was getting it from God. And then what it was doing is the woman was being caused to come out of her chair and swing her fist at me. And I was trying to block the blows. I didn't want to hurt the woman either. And I didn't want her to hurt me. So we kept going like that. And then one after the other, superiority, rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you something, we got stumped all of a sudden. All of a sudden, something manifested, and we could not get its name.
Please turn the tape over. Thank you.
excuse me for that. If the thought of her body was on the carpet that went to the living room, and her other arms were in the kitchen on the tile, we had to pick her up and move her out until off the ground. I say, speak to us, you stupid thing. Get out in Jesus' name. And it kept going, oh, brother. Oh, brother, you're so stupid. I said, okay, if you're so stupid, tell us your name. Oh, brother. Well, tell us your name. Well, if you're so smart, how come you can't say your own name? Boy, I can't stand you. And then finally, gave me a few words. It said, you people are just boring. Ha-ha! I know exactly what you are. Pseudo-intellectualism. And it went, ooh! I didn't say that. Then all of a sudden, it went out again. The woman went out again. I said, oh, no, not again. And this one is really funny. And she lay there for 20 minutes. 20 minutes on the web. And we're saying, God, give me one now. God, it's a thing of faith. God, I want a wisdom. And he just, she must have been looking down and he says, hey, angels, look at them. They're really on the team. Finally, we got his job description. And that's a trick away, doing it. We got to trick him sometimes. By the power of wisdom of God. So her daughter says, what do you do to her? And the demon says, isolationism. Come out in the name of Jesus. I remember after this deliverance, the next year with Lieutenant Steve Wilson, and I think Lee Ellenwood let him out. I was there with the rest of it. It's kind of funny. This woman gets up, walks up to him, and says, boy, the God's a woman. She says, but Frank, I think there's something still in there because I had the greatest sensation to bite your ankle. Thank you, Jesus, for the deliverance. Hallelujah. Well, I'll pray to God we'll do it some other time. See, I just ignore it. I'm not going to make any mistakes. So, I went with her and her husband to one of the members of their congregation over their house, and we could perform deliverance on the wife. And we thought it good to take an elder who was in his place and to, you know, bring him up in the deliverance station and say, well, you need deliverance, you know, you need help. Well, sometimes things don't always go the way. And as you cast in a spirit of unreality out of the wife of this man we were visiting, the pastor's wife starts going like this. I said, oh, you got me something too? I'm just going to go again, Lord. And I want to tell you something, the strangest thing happened. He started laughing in the same demonic spirit of the other one, and they started sharing the same or similar demonic spirit. And they were talking, oh, did you hear this stuff? I said, come on in the name of Jesus. How is like some of this one? Come on in the name of Jesus. I can imagine what that elder must be thinking. Boy, Frank Madonna's really got it together. Lord, I'm going to need help on this one. And then God blessed the picture in my mind. It was beautiful. Just the way he did it. I actually saw it in my mind. And you know, on a deck of 54 playing cards, the joker, I said, that's the one of them. How did you do this? I said, okay, joker, come out in the name of Jesus. And the demon went, why? Gotta be right. What did Joker say next? I'm throwing it in my mind's eye. No, it's there. Joker, come out. And the way the woman was shaking her head no, I know I was that close to its right name. I knew it. And then they started again. And I tell you, when they're laughing, they're hysterical. Because their name is exactly what their nature is. And then the knock is kind of funny. Because these two women sit on top, she's laughing. God, what am I going to do? And God didn't give me any help. He just gave me the picture card and that was it. Well, I only do what I know what it is. Okay, you Christians, circle around and we'll pray. And I want to tell you, we made a prayer circle. There weren't too many jokes flowing between the two of us. And as I pray, we all sing of the Lord Jesus, please deliver us. And then the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you something. I have never done this before. And that's why I say you've got to be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit every time you're delivered, so God will change according to the situation. Praise His holy name. And then I said, I stopped. And I crashed down by the woman's ear, the pastor's wife's ear, and I said, ha, ha, ha. God has the last laugh over you, and you will be undone. Ha, ha, ha. And the woman looked at me and said, you a clown too? Clown, come out in the name of Jesus. And the demon went, oh. As soon as we broke that one, we got the one in the other woman. Is that something? Well, that's it. God's got a sense of humor. Hallelujah. Binding and loosing. Why is it necessary to bind and loose? Matthew 12:29 says, or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property? Unless he first binds the strong man, then we can plunder it. And when we come, we say, okay, I bind you, now loosen and let him go. The laying on of hands. Let me say this about the laying on of hands. No demon is going to jump into you because you are not in a place of submission to the demon. Are you hearing me? You're in a place of authority. That's why you can command it to come out. Now, if you're submissive to the demon, then that's the problem. To it is the problem. And if you're sitting under someone who's got demonic problems, you gotta watch it. So as long as you're laying hands and it's authority, it's meant to come out, you don't worry about just jumping into you and jumping here. No, I've never had that happen to me. Okay, laying on of hands on specific body parts. And may I say this, men, when you perform deliveries, you keep your hands off the women's private areas and vice versa for the women. I know some, and the only way I could describe them is V-backs that think are super Christians running here, running there, and touching people when they can't touch them. I see enough of you for that. And we have one woman, I don't know if I can tell you, they told me off the pulpit, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We have one woman who has had all kinds of mental pressure and anxiety, and we just turned over in her head. She said, I can touch it here, touch it here, touch it. We're trying to cast out a driving spirit. And I think that this is driving. Oh, God, give me, God, give me, God, 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 God. And I just had the leading to, I said, I apply and appropriate the blood of Jesus to her mind. And I happened to touch her nose right there. And that's where the spirit was lost. And we found out later that one of her maladies, her husband took his fist and punched her nose in, and it broke right there. And that's exactly where the demon came in. Driving spirit, how about that? And I laid my finger right on it, and it came out. She had mental torment and mental racing. I had mental racing also. It's terrible, and it's not insomnia. If you can't go to sleep, you may have insomnia, but if your mind is always racing, most problems are spirit of mental racing. And I put my fingers on her temple, and it came out. She had anticipation. Always expecting, always excitement, always this. You know where they were? Right in the corners of her eyes. Anticipation is her eyes. Mental pressure she had. These were over her eyes, right above her eyebrow. And I'll tell you something. When we put our finger there, these demons were screaming at us now. Just like the anointing actually on our fingertips. Also, people say the reason we sit in lay hands is that Christ never laid hands on a demoniac. That's not true. He did. Read about the woman had experienced something in the week. Okay, hot hands, hot Bibles, and hot tongues, we're going to put them all together. First of all these won't work at any given time, but God may anoint and use them at any given time, in which case you've got to be open. There's no formula. There's no set patterns or formulas. There's a general outline. Then God may use what I'm giving you for any specific time. I just learned that. When they were casting spirits out of me, people were throwing Bibles on me. I said, wait a minute. Don't start throwing Bibles on me. God didn't say to do it. But yet, to the guy who was before me, God says, you take the Bible and lay it on him, and because of the act of faith, I will put my anointing through my word, and it will burn it out, and it did. Now, I don't believe the Bible's a fake. But God specifically honored it for that thing. Okay. Hot tongues, we've discussed that. With the supernatural anointing that people put on, you're either tongues, fans, or any other thing. I had God put anointing on my stare one time. He put a supernatural anointing on my eyes, and the demon just went like this. He could not look into my eyes. I figured, oh, good, I got that all the time. So I commanded one demon to look at me in the eyes, and he went, geez, and I left all the time. You know, you got to have a sense of humor in this thing, too. And I appreciate what Brother Greg said the other day. He says, it's about time we start, you know, having our jaws drop where, as my old person used to say, we could shoot out of a saxophone without a straw, you know? And it's about time we put on some smiles and start doing the work of the Lord. Well, I tell you, a number of us cracked up, really laughed with a hearty laugh when we heard this story. This woman was first coming into deliverance mission. And this woman that God sent her first time was loaded. When I arrived on the scene, me with these other two women passed out. As my memory shows me, 125 evil spirits out of the woman. And before I came, they got 125. And she was into everything. She had everything. I was looking up words in the dictionary if she had it. It was that bad. I mean, she had it. You know, we cast her out of spirit, and all of a sudden, she goes, and she goes to sleep. And you could not get that sleeping demon out of the way. Every time we try closer, she goes, she takes it out. So you ever think that's frustrating? So you know what I did? I said, I'm going to experiment. I went to Rosacea Center, and I looked up every synonym for sleep. And it was sleepwalking, sleep inducement, anesthesia. Woo! Food about it. You men, I submitted to the hospital, and they gave me an EPA, and the EPA demon, or whatever you want to call it, is still around. I got news for you. I cast out a food of anesthesia. Amnesia, catalepsy. We cast out my brother the other day, a food of catalepsy. Morphine. Who's that going to find? That's me or even on your list. Well, I didn't put it on you because it's so weird, but I'll tell you about it. In Greek mythology, there was a god, the god of sleep, whose name is Morpheus. And God told me that somewhere in Rosacea Pistoris was the king. So we got together with this woman again, and she tried to put on that sleeping machine, and I said, Morpheus, come out in Jesus' name. And the demon in the woman went, ah, like, how did you get that? But you know, we found she was hooked on before she got saved. Morphine. Ooh. The same root words from Morpheus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your wisdom. Anyway, the thing I wanted to get an answer was, this nurse, she's trying to pass out this demon. You want to hear something funny about this girl? And this girl. First of all, the girl was so taken over by them that these things would come up at any time. In fact, one time, they rose up in her. They got her clothes to go into her van. They started the van. They drove miles away. They shut the van off and blocked the way. They made her walk into a house. And then they disappear and she comes through to somebody. She's in somebody else's house and she doesn't know where her van is. So this woman, who's trying to perform the deliverance on this gal. This gal all of a sudden is taken over in the hospital room. And she grabs a scalpel. And the nurse goes, I'm going to come out. But in the meantime, that super demon was still up and Gina had to get it out of the way because he called for the charismatic case. Hello? I got a demon and a woman up and it won't go. And the other voice says, it's got to go. Just say in the name of Jesus and it got to go. I said in the name of Jesus, it won't go. No. Just say in the name of Jesus, it'll go. I said in the name of Jesus, it's coming after me. You're giving some quick. Just say in the name of Jesus. Just tell it in the name of Jesus. I tell you, You went to some tight squeeze sometimes. We had a woman come to us to deliver. And this was, I tell you, some of them are so nasty and some of them pop out like popcorn. I don't know why. I believe it has to do with the home that they have gained access in childhood and in the drug culture or something that we have come into it. For instance, if you totally gave yourself to the drug and the occult, they have come in and more totally controlled you than if you, let's say, a doctor prescribed something and you took it, you had something that wasn't strong. That's what we found out. So anyway, this really comes. I'm still nasty dude. They talk fast, they were very rude and everything. And Rosalie got the idea, ooh, I know what I'm going to do. So Rosalie starts praying, I appropriate the blood of Jesus to her arm. I appropriate the blood of Jesus to her mind and to her arm. And you can see the demon go, why did get that blood on? We have one woman come and we pray, with the blood of Jesus, we plead the mind under the blood. Now, tell you this, you got mind strength, they hate that. By appropriating, not pleading, appropriating the blood of Jesus on the mind. I appropriate the blood of Jesus to the mind, and the demon just went, what? They can't stand it, but praise God, that's what's going to get them out. Now, you don't cast out with the blood, you cast out in the name. Okay? Okay. Anointing oil. Now, there's something with an oil. And we know that oil in the scripture is a type of the Holy Spirit. And we have found that not all the time, but in cases where something particularly stuck or won't go, if we anoint our hands with oil and ask God the Father in the name of Jesus to anoint our hands with the Holy Spirit and fire. Woo! I had demons actually scream. One woman, she had a spirit suffering, and she looked like a little child, clasping her hands like that. She wouldn't open her hands. You know, the word I got was the demons in her hands. What a suffering she was a child. The bread, huh? Okay, I said, okay, you fast spirit, if you don't open your hands, I'm going to pour the olive oil right through the fish. I'm not going to open it. You better open it. I'm not going to open it. Okay, we got the oil, and we went like this, and the demon went, oh! And we got it, and we smashed it into its palm, and it yelled, you're burning me! Good. Come out in the name of Jesus. We had another woman who came to us. Similar thing. It was in the mind realm, and I said, aha, confusion. It's in the mind realm. And the demon was, oh, you think you're so smart. I said, you're nasty. So get the anointing oil, clean it, smoothly hit it, right overhead, it's clean, and so on. Now, do I believe in manifestation? Well, let me just tell you, and I shared this at the dinner table the other night. I like to call them demonstrations. Can anybody tell me what the first five letters of the word demonstration is? Demon. And you know what God told me? Demon spoken. How can you not believe in a demon spoken? It's a demon distress. In fact, I believe that the word comes from people using the displays and the demonstrations or manifestations of a demon come out to describe demon spoken or demonstration. How about that? The word told me that. Now there's three types. The most common, the uncommon, and the very violent. So what I say, Lord, it's going to be the common is what you see here. Cough, burp, sneezing, yawn, puffing air, twitching. We had a woman that was loaded, and all we had to do was sit 5-6 feet away and say, in the name of Jesus, come out, and she coughed in the mouth. No problem. Boy, I wish all women was like that. We had another woman who coughed, but she needed to lay on her hands to assist her. We had someone who's bound by spirit of homosexuality for 40 years, but all we do is puff air, do nothing. We had another guy, I've never saw this before. He said, come out in the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden it was this. And it came out. But he was taking a loose, but it came out. My pastor, he just delivered 3 feet. I get mine in my backbone, a cliff, or anything that God decides is pretty neat. We have one guy comes, or he does his book. And one guy comes, he always laughs. In fact, every demon that came out of this guy tried to break his core, so we would leave it alone. It would go, I said, stop choking, and come out in the name of Jesus. And it would live. Look at the sun. Which move the uncommon manifestation? I wonder what the people on the cassette tape are going to think about this, huh? Hallelujah. Well, since you can try to buy a ticket, it's just so funny. What a Greek lady comes in. And I'll tell you, I never seen this either. All she do is sit there and groan them out. It sounds like an airplane taking off. And it works. I tell you, and what was funny is that her 14-year-old boy, no, it's 12, he was 12 years old. When we first got a spear of virus out of him, he went, get a place, there's nothing meant for him. Oh, God, what is that? I said, God allowed you to see the demon spirit. And we just had someone here left there, a young child, who saw the demons as a religion. Now, why did God do that? I don't know, but he brought his cousin, he kept out of him, and said, too. Okay. Odor. Do you know that if your discernment is keen, you can smell demons? Demons have odors. The other day when I called people up for a nicotine addiction, it wasn't the breath I was smelling, it was the demon spirit. So they said, well, Brother Frankie, you're so close, how can you continue to say? Well, true. The breath of someone who smokes is naturally smoky and kind of horrible. But there was a case where I was teaching deliverance on about this size meeting wall, a little bit bigger, and I was standing here, and the people on the first row were going. Now, I didn't know if they were trying to tell me my family stank. I said, what are you people on the first row doing? What are you doing? Brother Frank, don't you smell good smoke in this room? And no, I don't smell any smoke. Yeah, but Brother Frank, there's smoke in this room. And then a woman said, wait a minute, Brother Frank. That's a word of knowledge, because I smell it, and it smells like cigarette smoke, and I think God's telling us there's someone who is bound by nicotine. Good. Let's stop the preaching, stop everything. God gives the word of knowledge, let's move on. Word of knowledge, the famous spirit, whatever you want to call it. Okay, anybody here have that problem? Nobody raised their hand. Now come on, God go look at the sermon, there's got to be somebody here. When a girl about 23 years old raises her hand, she says, Brother Frank, I have not smoked in about 2 years. I have put them down, and I've been faithful to God. And Brother Frank, I've got such a crazy joy. I said, what do you got it? Now, how can someone who hasn't smoked in 2 years still have the odor? Huh? But I'll tell you something. When she came forward and she sat down in that hot seat, my nose caught the odor of what the people in the first row were smelling. And you know something? As we pray, the only manifestation, brother, was obtained in the fragrance of the air. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, and I know reading the book of the Song of Solomon talks about the fragrance of the presence of the Lord. And I thought, wow, that's pretty mind-boggling. But the elder with me also witnessed the same thing. And you just know the fragrance of the Lord as you just filled that room. Wasn't that beautiful? Okay. The more violent manifestation. And I'm telling you for your own benefit. So you know you're not going to be super Christian and decide you're going to do deliverance on your own. You do it with someone or someone else. Usually two or three, you're usually very good. And I don't recommend women do it by itself. I would suggest that a man be in there. And of course, if the situation doesn't permit, take my stuff, for example. Two or three women and me. Well, that was it for tonight. Lord, you have to make the best of it. And it was. Okay. People who are bound very much need the calling of that name in order for the demon to stir from within them and come to the surface. And I call this stirring and manifesting itself. One woman said, who had many demons, "Brother Frank, I feel I got a apartment complex down there. And every time you call one, they zip on the elevator and come to the top." And that's what her manifestation was, and then it came out. Also, people who are bound very strongly will go into a seemingly hypnotic state. We had this one woman I just referred to, as we call them out, immediately as I called its name, it would zip up to the top, and it would talk to me. It would talk to me. I said, sometimes they're very vulgar. I had my cousin there with me, and she's got a little bit bigger facial expressions than I do. And the demon looked at him as he was trying to cast one out and said, "I don't like you. You have a big nose." And he said, "That's right. You just put it there. And I'm just crazy about it." And his wisdom, he said that because what the demon was trying to do is to divert sin from before he's delivered. Don't remember that. Okay. Do they talk that? When they're very strong, they do. You have to carry on conversations with them, just get them out. Some of them are very argumentative, and they'll give you reasons why they can't come out. Oh, I can't come out. I called out a spirit of tiredness. And this woman really went, "But they come out in the name of Jesus." "I can't." "What do you mean you can't? You can't or you won't?" "No, I can't." "All right, tiredness. Why can't you come out?" "I'm too tired." I kid you not. I said, "Well, if you're too tired, then you're too tired to fight me." I don't know. It's enough. They'll try to deceive you. He called the spirit of escape out of one woman, and the demon said, "Well, you don't have to go after escape. I came out with the other one." You ever try running it through your logic circuit? Why are you saying I came out with the other one when you're still speaking to me there? Yeah. We had one woman called us up 3 o'clock in the morning. She lived in the community, it's kind of weird. 3 o'clock in the morning, so you find the phone, you know? Let us find the reminders. "I think we have a spirit of murder in the house. Could you come now and cast her out?" 35 miles away to cast out a spirit of murder. I can do it. "Well, how long has it been there?" "About 5 years." "Good. Give me 5 years to stay one more night. Goodbye." No, I didn't say that. But I said, "Just pray. I'll be there in the morning and we'll do something." And if they hung up. And you know what I just say? That the spirit was in the woman who called me. I listened to this. After we ate, I immediately started on my friend's life. And I said, "Familiar spirit, come out in the name of Jesus." And the spirit says, "You weren't supposed to do this today. You were supposed to cast out something out of the house. You weren't supposed to do this to her today." I said, "Well, I'm sorry for foiling your plan. Come out in the name of Jesus." But you know. We had one case where we gave my ministerial card to a woman. You listen to this. I'll tell you, it's amazing what happens in the supernatural. And as we cast out one demon, and this woman told us before, she said, "You know, praise God, Brother Frank, I've had this card for about a year, and it seems like I can never lose the calling card. It always would come up, just when I need to talk to you and your wife, or set an appointment. I always would find it." And you know, we went, "Oh, praise God, that's nice. But you know what the demon was here?" As we were casting it out, the demon said, "Stupid calling card of yours. Every time she needed it, she found it. That stupid card, I wish that elder would have never gave it to her." I wonder what was happening. Was an angel watching over that thing? Ooh, look at the possibility. It's too upset by demons. We had a spirit come up that would tell us exactly the error or what we needed to know or what we even didn't need to know. Even a book. This woman came and she had, and I don't need to offend anybody's examination, blood Catholic school. And I just learned that she had one called doctrinal error. And I called it out. I think someone here got through a doctrinal error the other night. I just say it's either religion or doctrine or error. Anyway, the demon come up and it says, oh, Confirmation Day. They told me it was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a lie. Now that's true. I submitted to Confirmation Day, and you know what the men told me? When I knelt before the bishop and he slapped my face, I would receive the Holy Spirit. It's a lie. It's a false doctrine. And that was the error that this demon exposed. Isn't that true? This demon also didn't be deceived. This woman had a demon of ritualism. I say, you won't believe what happened. My cousin is Pentecostal. He knows enough about Catholicism that he knew what the demon was doing. But you know what it did? What? It straightened up, erupted. It folded its hands like this. And you know what proceeded to do? And we said, you hear this kind of thing. He said, yeah, go ahead and bless it. And then it went like this, and it went. Yeah, sprinkle it. And then in perfect coordination, it went like this. With the rigidity, absolutely perfect, it went. Yeah, go ahead, through the entrance. Every single thing was perfect, and it was a to cast out a spirit of idolatry, and all the demon being was in a very, I'll tell you, I've never felt anything so powerful, but it said, kneel before me, I am a statue. I tell you, I thank God I didn't have a wood, because it would have landed on the ceiling. Demon motion that I tell you, and that one was really spooky because it gave us a history of where it came from. Demons motion that are hidden to others. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they come across the information, but they know it. You say, well, how can they possibly know it, Brother Frank? Well, in Luke 4, when there was a man in the synagogue that had a demon, what did he say to Jesus? What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have a demon there. Verse 41. And the demons were coming out of the man crying, you're the Son of God. You're the Son of God. Acts 16. And it happened that a slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, saying, these men are the bondservants of the Most High God, proclaiming the way of salvation. How do I do this? I like this one's my favorite. Acts 19. But also some of the Jewish exorcists, who went from place to place, attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, oh, I appear you by Jesus, these four people. And the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priestess, were doing it. And the evil spirit answered, says, I know Jesus, and I know about four, but who the heck are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit looked on them, subdued both of them, overpowered them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I want to tell you something. That was for 2,000 years ago, but I had an experience with it. I read in a book, in a psychologist, one of the deliverance books, he was trying to counsel a man in his way. And all of a sudden he noticed a notable change in his voice. What's going on? He says, I bet you the man's just faking it. I'll play along with it a lot. So he played along. But finally he said, that was enough. He says, okay, stop faking. I'm tired of it. And the demon said, oh, I see you don't believe in it. So he says, what's your name? He says, we go by many names. Satan. Devil. He says, come on now, stop acting like this. I don't want to talk about this no more. Oh, you don't believe in us. Okay, we'll change that. And in 3 to 5 minutes, the demon told this psychologist what happened in his life in times past that only he knew. How do they know that? We cast out, me and my wife, cast out a spirit of happiness. Pride goes before destruction, but authority goes before death. And holiness rose up in exactly the mannerism that its name describes and said, "Who are you, Mongolians? Who are you, Frank and Rosalie Mongolians? Who are you people? So, and where did you go to that polytechnic of Brooklyn? Those are classes. And that Xavier High School? That's not, I don't know that. This woman was never in my day. You don't know where I was. How have I been in that? I don't know. But you know something? Regardless of what they know, we know how to get them out. That's the thing. Good job. We were of one thing also. That body deformation may occur during a deliverance that you need to be prepared for. This one woman, as we cast out several spirits, a lump actually protruded from her head. And if we have another minister there who is led by the Spirit of God, who had a healing come in, as it was cast out, he would get pain, he would just close his hair down and the pain would subside. We had a similar woman who called out a spirit infirmity, but we threw it to the floor and she called up with the letter C, bowed over. Just like it says in Luke, as the woman had a spirit infirmity, she was bowed over. She could not get up. She was thrown to the floor. We had a spirit of insanity come out. And I have never seen this before. But she threw up her fingers like this, her tongue came out part of the way, and she just started giving an awful, subdued scream. Then madness came out, and as he cast her out, she whipped her head in a no position so fast it almost became a blur. I couldn't even do it. My neck hurt when I tried to do it. But I was looking at my eyes and having trouble on where her head was. It was moving so fast. One thing that's really horrible is that the demon can recall incidences of traumatic and shock experiences. And they can torment you. The pastor's wife in Canada that we ministered to, we could see that she went under shock treatment for another breakdown. And when we actually felt like to pull out a spirit of electric shock, and as soon as we did, she went, as if she was under the incident. Incredible. We cast out a spirit of rape out of a woman. And we know this one. And she immediately flew to the floor, and our whole body moved, as if we thought there was somebody. Think of it. Who would ever believe you? We cast out a spirit of suicide, and the demon rose up and went, "Ranger!" Incredible. And you know many people are in mental hospital being fed drugs that neither the drugs nor the doctors can help them. But God has entrusted the kingdom to us. And he told us that those who want to go in must take it by force. From force from whom? Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm excited what Jesus is doing in his last days. And I want to tell you something. I am never intimidated by how loud they shout, by the threats they make. I have spirits of murder come to me with their eyes rolling back in their head that all I saw coming at me were just the whites of the line. I said, "Oh, I'm coming to you." I said, "Don't give me that. Come out in the name of Jesus." And they were just screaming yell because they knew, I knew, that they could. And I want to tell you something. If you're dealing with someone you know who's bound severely, you make sure you have several people there that can help. Don't do it on your own. Do not do it on your own. I'm not giving you fear. I'm giving you wisdom. My cousin tried to do this on his own. And the demon just grabbed him like this. And he came, speak. And he, in his mind, just prayed, "Lord, you promised me a worldwide ministry. You better do something quick." Lord, from this will this will close. Deliver this to children. It's not too early to take the 2-year-old, the 1-year-old, and start getting him delivered. We come up with a boy, 2.5 years old. And my wife got the discernment. It was a spirit of defiance. And she said, "Defiance, come out in Jesus' name." I went, "No. Come out in Jesus' name. No." 2.5 years old. We had his older sister come. 12, not even 12, 11. And she was so bound between the 5 knowledges that went on the lap with her mother. She had picked up all those spirits from every divorce, all the hurts, all the wounds. Oh, I tell you, I took a bad dream. We had a 6-year-old. Actually, the demon was in a scream. The Rosie was telling me, "We before mass when it was on the prison room. Why not? It was good enough for the adults. Why is it good enough for the kids?" And Rosie said, "You wouldn't believe what that little girl was doing. I told someone to come out, and it just looked at me and went, no." And then the little girl says, "Rosalie, my friends don't like me. And I think I have a snotty skin." Well, little girl, if you took a shirt, we'll cast it out. Little girl, and as it cast out, it just went, I tell you, you got to be open to what the Spirit of God is thinking. Because everything is not the same. And you're going to learn as you're led by the Holy Spirit of God. And you know something? God's going to raise up deliverance ministry. This is not for me to teach. Because the message of the gospel is just better. Not keep it. What do you do with your faith? I keep it. But praise God, I say it. Hallelujah. And I want, and God wants to impart it to a lot of you here. And he wants to raise men up as strong men of God so we can defeat the strong men of the enemy. Okay. That's it for today. And now we have a quick, very quick deliverance. And people have come up to me and they said, "Brother Frank, you've called several things already, but I still feel there's other things that you passed already that I think I've got." And all I can tell you is you need to write it on a piece of paper, and after I preach, I will just go ahead and get the rest that you think are there. Now, I feel led as one. I'm not going to go into curses today because I like the deliverance of curses to follow the teaching of curses, okay? But there's areas which we have not covered yet. And it's mainly in the infirmity realm. And I'd like to go down that route today. And if any of you are suffering from an infirmity that you cannot get free, I believe that you will get free today. So we'd like to just commit the rest of this to the Lord. Father, you've heard the preaching. You see these people talk. You know what they want from you. You know what they need to go on with God. In Jesus' name right now, we pray angels around this room. We pray the Holy Spirit to permeate the atmosphere and to deliver and set your captives free. Satan, I pull down your strongholds from the enemy and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. I cast you down in the name of Jesus. You principalities and powers over Hot Springs and over Arkansas. Right now, you're saved in the name of Jesus. You're saved in the name of Jesus. You will not interfere with this deliverance. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to go down the infirmity group, and we're going to start with the spirit of infirmity. And if you haven't been healed from before, you just stay open. God's going to deliver you. Okay. Spirit of infirmity. You get out of God's people in Jesus' name. You're bound in the name of Yeshua, Hamashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Get out of God's people in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.